Okay, we're going to call the meeting of the Town Discovery Bay Standing Water and Wastewater Committee to order. Roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present with the exception of Vice Chair Graves and District Water Engineer Schoed.
Okay, with that, we're going to move on to public comments. Is there any public comments? Seeing none, we'll close public comments and go on to the draft minutes of the last meeting, September 21st, for approval. So here, motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, with that, we'll go on to discussion items, D1, regarding water well number 8 site location staff.
We had scoped out maybe 2 sites for possible well 8 siting. Just so you have some background knowledge, you generally should be at least 1,000, maybe 1,500 feet away, plus more feet away from an existing well. So Newport Water Treatment Plant on that side of town is where we would like to put well number 8. And wherever you put that well, 8, 9, 10, whatever it might be, you have to then think about building a pipeline from that well, bringing that raw water into Newport Water Treatment Plant. So obviously, the closer the better, that keeps our costs down. So we have looked at a few sites, but Justin from Ludolph Scaminelli has also suggested maybe some other means of well number 8, meaning do a pre-treatment in a sense. Maybe move well 8 far into town, do a pre-treatment, and then inject it at that part of town. And almost like a water treatment plant, but no storage. And Justin is going to bring more details probably at our next meeting. So I just want to give you a heads up, that's all. Not much to decide on that right now.
All right, what, just for general purposes, a pre-treatment facility for that one single well, how does that relate in added costs?
It would be a filter.
Right.
And then what you might say is, wherever your well 8 hole, well is, that piping to bring in that 10 to 12 inch, 14 inch pipe from wherever that well is down to Newport might save you that cost. I don't know.
Right, but you still have the cost of the filter.
You have the filter, but you have no storage, meaning no storage tanks.
Right. Correct. So
what you would do is you'd probably pump it and pump it into the system. If it was, let's say it was out in the water, which let's just say, you treat it there and just pump it in. And it may be, depending on the site that you buy, property-wise, you may want to think about a larger site, because someday, in the future, I always worry about if the earth plates below us shift, causes us our water to be cut off, then we'll be in this community, be in the world of earth.
Right.
And so I voiced that to the Ludolph office a couple of times, and they said, well, then we should be thinking of an alternate source. The best alternate source I see at the moment is East Bay Mud, which is at Orwood. Those big pipes that they have would be a source that you tap into, but you would still need to do a treatment in a way of filtering that water, because it comes from a reservoir up in the east and it comes down. They run it through their filtering system, I think Concord or Oakland, wherever it is, before it's delivered to their customers. But it's a better quality water than we would get from Contra Costa water, unless we had our own water rights where we could draft out of the Delta, but we do not.
I would think that whole concept should be put out someplace.
That's correct.
To
that's
have
correct.
Engineering look at the different alternatives so we can come back with some numbers and, you know, and long-range planning, I think it's a good idea. So I don't know how we get that on the list of the thousand items that we have to get done. But
we will.
Comparison would be doing the pre-treatment at the well, comparing to putting in storage. You don't have a lot of storage in Newport, but there's smaller storage in Provo, so you might have to expand or add a storage tank in Newport.
If you don't do the pre-treatment.
Correct.
Yeah, and those are all the kind of the items, the pros and the cons of each item that we need to analyze.
Right.
All right, thanks for that update. Item number 2, regarding operation and maintenance manual.
This was put on the agenda, which was actually your request, And it had to do with the CIP budget of $200,000, I believe it is, for the actual drafting of the O&M. And we were curious on why were the costs so high? Are there other alternatives? So I'm going to turn this over to...
Yeah, so the first thing is it's a lot of labor to put it together because you go back and look through, you know, all of our existing equipment, all of our costs. So there's a large labor element to it to put together. The reason I wanted to talk about it was just to clarify just generically how certain things happen. Engineering services are generally in the state by law supposed to be awarded based on technical merit, not cost. You have to certainly take in cost. It's one of the elements of one of the criteria. But you're not obligated, and in fact, you're forbidden from picking an engineer because of the chief engineering team. You know, you're supposed to make a technical evaluation as to their capabilities to do the work. And then you negotiate a fee if you will. You know, so in many times when we write an RFP or a proposal, even when I refer to a client, you give them your technical proposal on one hand, one envelope, and your cost proposal in the other envelope. And usually they don't even look at your costs until they've selected a firm. Then they'll look at your costs and then they'll say, okay, you know, maybe your scope's higher or lower, and they'll maybe negotiate a fee from there. So what brought up here in this was, was a question, well, why is this so expensive? I can get costs from other manuals that I've worked with, Stantec. We got costs from Stantec, who was the proposal that came from here. But their proposal cost is in line with other clients, that I checked their costs for other O&M manuals for other clients, and these proposals are similar in cost. We're not exorbitantly higher. We're actually less than some of their other manuals. Like they've done some 300,000 manuals for bigger clients and stuff. So we're not there in terms of exorbitantly high compared to other clients. So then the question was, do we want to go out to RFP for this? And that was kind of where that's like, okay, let's go out to RFP. But if we're going out to RFP, I want to review a few things on that. So the town has not gone out to RFP in forever, ever. Okay, so when Hoffman ran the show, he just picked his engineer, and that's what happened. Then we came on board, and kind of like Ludorf and Scalmany, New York Scalmany was your water engineer, your wastewater engineer. And as things came along, like master planning elements that we wanted a second opinion on, we brought in Stantec to give us a second opinion on things, so you just didn't have one opinion on your master plans and things. If we want to go out, we're free to go out to RFP, that's up to us, you know, kind of thing. At the moment, the people that are most qualified that know the plan the best are Hurwitz and Stantec, and we know the plan the best. We don't have the manpower to really do justice to this manual at this time, and we also don't have the word processing formatting capabilities to make a nice looking manual. You know, we're more of a technical firm in terms of plans and specs. But we're not going to, you know, we wrote the original manual, and you can tell, you know, it was word processor, and just here's your text, and here's what it looks like, and we kicked that out of draft 10 years ago, and we did write the original manual 10 years ago. So at the beginning position, the two most knowledgeable people are Hurwitz and Stantec, and so that's why we went to Stantec and got a price from them to do the manual. We are certainly free to go out to RFP to look for other people. Other people will have to educate themselves on everything about the plan to write the manual. So you are going to, and that could be reflected in their costs, which you would be able to see if you went to RFP. But you will pay other people to come figure out what goes on there, because nobody else even knows. I mean, no one else has worked in this. Like, Corolla worked in the plan for Hoffman in 2000. Was the last time they saw the plan. And that was Kurt and me at Corolla that did it. So, you know, no one there knows it. So the question is twofold. If we want to go out to RFP, or we could do some, we could bring Stantec in and negotiate with their fee and talk to them about different things and, you know, sort of, you know, review like you would if you'd selected them in an RFP. Like if you'd selected them in an RFP and you said, okay, technically you're the most qualified, but let's talk about your price, let's sit down and negotiate what's going on, we could bring them in here and have them do that. Okay, or we could go out to RFP. If we go out to RFP, at the moment, we have no rules, we've never done it before. So I would want to discuss now.
Well, I'm trying to decide whether we have if this is a purchasing or professional services agreement that so says we have to go out to
RFP. This is a professional services agreement.
And I don't know what our requirements are by policy or by law on that.
Yeah. So the professional service agreement, I don't know what your policy is, but by law you don't have to go out to RFP for it. You can just select the most technical qualified firm.
Right. Well, one of the things, and I appreciate the information, I know I know both sides of it. We certainly want to have a firm that's qualified to do this.
Yes. Right.
Certainly, you can't just go out and get the lowest bidder.
Yeah. Right.
No.
Yeah.
Part of the process would be for them to take our current manual,
right,
and read it and sit down with Veolia and their staff and kind of
and
figure it out and hold hands and kind of make all that stuff work. So it's not somebody just coming in blind and that don't have anybody or any way to do that.
Yeah.
So I would like to at least see, I'm not saying we should go out to RFP at the moment, but there's got to be, I would think, two or three other firms within California or close that do this kind of stuff. Are you aware of any of those?
Oh, yeah. No, so any of the major engineering firms will write you on me. Okay, and then I think there's some specialty people that, you know, maybe try and just focus on only advantages, you know, kind of thing. So the real question to me was more about process, you know, in terms of options and things. So in terms of options, we've used Stantec in the past and they identified them as a person. And so we could, I'll say, negotiate their fee some more by bringing them in, having them give a presentation, and so that's one option, is just negotiating Stantec on what they did. The second option is, if you didn't want to use Stantec, I would say go out to formal RFP. Because, you know, at that point in time, I think then you want to, all right, let's just see who else is out there that's interested in Discovery Bay and has the time and effort that wants to do it. The real question to me was, if we go out to RFP, I wanted to at least review some rules about how we're going to do this, because we haven't done it before here in town, where we go out to, you know, a formal engineering RFP. So there's a couple things. So for instance, some people just want a cost proposal, and the costs and the technical proposals are together. Some agencies keep them separate. Like, we don't look at costs until we pick a firm, you know, kind of thing. Who's going to evaluate these proposals? We're going to have a committee, you know, people that are going to, if you've got to pick a winner, if you're not picking on price, and we're going to pick on price, you're not supposed to pick on price. So we've got to pick a winner. So who's going to be involved in picking the winner? Is it just me? That's okay.
No.
But we haven't done any of this stuff. We haven't done any of this before. And that's what I'm trying to get to is how do we, you know, how do we set up a process?
Correct.
How do we want it to work? You know, and I can tell you different ways that it works.
Right. We can do all that from an elected official standpoint.
Yeah.
I'm out in the community, somebody finds out that we gave a bid, sent no bid contest, whatever, I'm going to go through an hour explanation of what you got to serve it, no.
Yeah.
We have to reach out, whether we end up being Sanitec or not, I don't have a preference.
Right.
But I have to represent to the community that we did go out and we searched and we looked, and I'm not sure if we need to go to the, as a first step, an official RFP.
Yeah.
More of a preliminary. I don't know what you call it, a request something to go out and see if we get any responses back and say, yeah, we could outline it, we've got a brand new plant, we have filters, we have this and this,
So the real question is, regardless of how we get feedback in, whether it's formal or informal, someone else is going to say, okay, I want to do it too. All right, what's going to be our process for selection? That's where I'm concerned. I mean, so the real thing is, it's easy for me to call people, send me a proposal. It's easy for me to write an RFP that just notifies the world, hey, we're taking bids, and I would notify a bunch of engineering companies. You know, we're not taking bids, we're taking proposals. But the real question is, what process we want to follow? Okay, I got three firms that I'll say, I'll do it, and I'll deem them all attempted. Qualified. I'll say they're big enough engineering firms that they'd be qualified. So we'll say that. Because I wouldn't let them submit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I'd have a criteria. Don't even submit if you don't meet these qualifications, right? So we're gonna say they're at least qualified to submit. We're gonna have three of them. So now the next step, which we haven't done here, is what I'm saying. We haven't had to sit down and think about this process for a minute, which is how are we gonna pick? Who's gonna pick? what process are we going to use to pick? Are we going to create a matrix? Are we going to create a criteria? Are we going to just everybody read the proposal? I like that one. I like that. Can you go with? Are we going to interview people?
And they all
kind of talk to us.
A little bit of all of the above. A matrix situation, yes. I do think that you need to have an interview process because sometimes stuff on paper doesn't come across as the way that the firm would like to present it, or we didn't read that part and write it. I think you would be on that, the firm would be on that.
So that's basically what I'd like to establish is who's going to be involved to make the decision. And, you know, it sounds to me like I have no problem with doing an RFP. It's just a question of, all right, I want to know the process so that I can lay out the process in the RFP. Because once I write it down, that's the process. You know, we're going to follow the process. Because as soon as I go out public with a process, we're following that process. You know what I mean?
So I have a suggestion.
Yes.
That we bring this to the board with some recommendations on a on the process.
Concepts.
Some choices to go with. And then we'll also get an opinion on, you know, a fact on whether or not it's required to go out to RFP or not, just so we clarify that.
In public.
And so we'll do the background on that, and then we'll come to something before the full board for direction on which avenue they want to take and which methodology of approval.
I think probably the next step would do that, yes. But in lieu of just going straight to the board, come back and let us talk about it, fine-tune it just a little bit, then bring it to the board.
What's our timeline on this?
Obviously it takes a while for the manager to get it. We do have equipment.
What's the date that we have to have the manual?
There's no guns or ahead on the manual.
But the reality is
we're operating the plant. We have new equipment.
Right, we need to be written down.
You need something written down.
When do you want a manual in your hands, Scott? You want one yesterday, I understand.
Well, so nice I had one in 2009.
Well, it's in our CIP for this fiscal year.
Right. Yeah.
So we want to come probably to the next committee meeting or the one after that. We're coming up on the holidays. But
well, in lieu of waiting another...
I think the manual's on.
We're meeting twice a month.
Next meeting is November 16th.
So if we're going to do an RFP, I'd like to set like a policy or a precedent, like this is how you do it now. Or, you know, because right now we're making this up. But I don't want to keep
instead of reinventing the wheel, can't we go to some other firms that have been out?
I have plenty of wheels. It's just a matter of picking which wheel we want. Okay. I know every which way we can do this. And I've done it many times, many different ways. The town is not.
Correct.
That's what I'm getting.
Correct. Yes. So I think that you gave us three options.
Okay.
Here's ways you can do it. You can do it this way, and these kind of firms have done it that way.
Yeah.
Do it this way, those have done it this way, and you can do it this way. And now we have something to discuss.
All right. I will do that. So we'll do that at the next meeting. Okay. Now, the real thing is, I think if we do that at the next meeting, I think after that, I think we just decide to go out and get proposals and then take a proposal to the board for approval. I think next meeting
to get approval by the board to go out.
Yeah. Oh, is that
the committee? Can't not take action.
Right.
They can only make recommendations to the
board. We can learn this pretty fast because if for some reason, because of the holidays, we need to have a special meeting so we can get it going.
So next meeting, we'll come back with three options. I'm just going to give you three choices: do A, B, or C. We'll agree on here, and then we're going to bring that to the board at the next meeting or something.
Correct.
Correct. So the next Park and Rec meeting is the 16th of November. You'll be back.
No,
I'm sorry.
Water and wastewater is November 16th.
You're getting sleeps up for
November what? 16th?
Yes.
Okay. So that gives you enough time, Greg, to get it done?
Just bring your three options. I'm entertaining three options right now.
Oh.
I want to
make it formal.
Insert it.
Okay. So, but anyway, we'll bring the options November 16th. And then when would be the following board meeting out of there?
December.
So I think Monday.
It would be a week later, the 22nd. No, excuse me, it was on the 15th.
So it's the first
December 6th is the first meeting in December.
All right, so the December 6th meeting, then we want to target, at least because it sounds like we're going out to RFP, going out to at least get quotes. So if we have to request board permission to go out again.
Oh, make it four ways. Okay. Three that you knew, and the current thought of just get Sanitec and bring them in because we can do that. That gives us four ways to do it, and if we're legally allowed to just go to them, we've made that known in public, so there's nothing behind the scenes, and that way the board can help us decide what they're comfortable with.
Okay, just so I know we go to board approval for contracts, but since I've been here, I haven't heard us go to board approval to go out to get prices, which is what you're talking about now. So there's a difference between we can't sign a contract until we bring it to you. But many, many, many times we've walked in and said, right. Hey, it was an open bid and we got, like, to go out to bid, we haven't in the past come to you to go out to bid, we just bring the bids. Now you've known about it, you know this is going on.
Because it was in the CIP.
Yeah,
we approved that.
Exactly. It's in the CIP and we're just enacting a process. So the reason I say that is it saves time if of course it comes to you for approval of the contract.
Right.
The issue is,
I don't want to waste 3 weeks just waiting.
You know, need to come to you for permission to go out and get proposals? That's the question. And we haven't traditionally done that. That's the policy. But we haven't traditionally done it right here. But traditionally, it's been at this level here. We at this level have decided go out and get proposals on this, and we'll go get the proposal and then bring it to the board. You know, I just want to clarify that if there's a policy or if that's what we're changing here.
We'll have to look into that.
I can see a great point. Same thing, you know, anything that we're buying. Once it's on the CIP and the board has approved the budget, staff needs to go out and accomplish whatever it was.
And then we bring it to you for approval.
Correct. We're going to do this or that, and we check it all out, and here's the one we think we need to go with, and there's the box.
Yeah.
You want to do it.
And then you'll ask, did you get bids? And we'll say, yeah, or we got it, or whatever. But you'll ask the question, but you don't usually formally tell us it's okay to look at a quote.
And I agree. I'm comfortable with that. So if you came back to us with here's three options and here's the fourth option.
Right. And then we just decide here, we'll go do that. And then we'll, you know, because then I can kick out an RFP and
it gets rolling so that we get through the holidays. We're going to waste the holidays. Right. And now by January, in the January, maybe we have a firm's.
Alright, so we'll still circulate it
ahead
of time before this meeting, but we'll come back with the
outcome. Okay, so I'm a little confused now. Okay. What's the plan? Recite the plan?
So the plan will be, I'm going to come back to our next wastewater committee meeting with four options. One will be just hand the contract to Sanitec option.
Okay,
I'm
with you now.
Several flavors of getting bids, we'll say.
Okay.
And then once the committee decides,
which
one option two. I'll go out and execute option two.
I don't think we can do that. I think we have to go to the board for the action, the decision to. The committee cannot.
Yeah.
Send
but
direction.
That's true.
They can't. It has to be an action of the board.
And so this is what I was bringing up is traditionally.
The committee makes a recommendation to the board, option X, Y, or Z.
Right. But let me use this as an example. I'm not debating. I don't care if we have to go to the board. That's fine and dandy, but we went out and bought a tractor for the maintenance department. It was in the budget. Mm-hmm. The board approved the budget. Mm-hmm. And staff, when they got to their point, they went out and got a proposal and just brought it to the board.
Yeah.
Are we going to buy this?
Same thing with the water meter project. We went out to bid with the water meter. We didn't ask permission to go out to bid. We knew it was a project, and we just rolled with our plan. We went out to bid, we selected, and then we brought that to the board, let them know.
I don't have a dog in this race, that's
so,
fine with me.
The board, we brought it up at the last meeting, there was a brief discussion on we've got to do an operations manual in order to get us Title 22, and it's about $200,000.
Therefore, you can provide your quotes and go out to bid and then bring that back.
Bring the whole package back.
To give your recommendation and then they
because
make
the action is whether or not to accept the bid.
Whether or not to accept
not the bid. Whether or not to go out
there. That's correct.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Correct.
All right, I'm with you.
And then the real check is if we went off the reservation. legislation that brought in something out of CIP and all this stuff, and then the board is just going to stop it. Hey, it wasn't out of CIP. We didn't know about this. What's going on?
I'm on board.
All right, so I'm clear on that. Okay, so
on the 16th, we should be able to reach a decision of
what our process is, how we're going to proceed, and then we'll execute on that. But we'll reach a decision of how we're going to proceed.
Okay. The goal would be during the holidays to whatever that is, make that happen so that during the holidays.
For being contacted, information's coming in.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so that's all I have on O&M.
So hopefully we'll be ready to go out and whatever after the first year.
Well, I would go out for proposals right after the meeting because I understand the process. It's not easy. It's easy to ask people for it. Like, okay, I'll write it up. Here, guys, I want this.
And that way,
I hope we can make a decision by December. And that's what I'd like to do is have somebody on board by December, the December meeting or the first meeting in January, or at least where they're actually hired and ready to go.
Okay, thank you.
O&M then. Next discussion regarding wastewater filtration project.
Okay, so I did give we had a meeting at the filtration project last time. We had a meeting at the board where we talked about some issues. I'd like to bring those issues back around so that everybody is on board and got a more informal environment. People can ask questions and things like that. And give some updates on the filter project. So the first thing is I handed out a piece of paper here, which I gave a verbal discussion of at the last board meeting, but I'd like to just review that and let people know what happened. So when we first turned the filters on, we had some permit violations of fecal coliform coming out of the UV system. We tried to isolate all forms of different operating scenarios, and that's where the filter cells here, we were running 1, 2, 3, then we were running 4, 5, 6, and we had some violations, and then we said, let's do something. So then we tried running none, we tried running 1, 2, 3 again, we tried running 4, 5, 6 again with different UV channels, and we tried to recreate it, and we didn't recreate the problem, kind of thing. But, so we did have some violations.
On start.
Okay.
But since then until today.
Yeah. And since then we have not had any
problems. So we had contamination in the filter somehow, some way.
Maybe you should have still taken it out by my explanation, but for whatever reason.
Didn't you say there was a bunch of snails or something?
Yeah. On one day for one test, we were getting ready to do the official bioassay test and we rented some pumps to really put a lot of flow through the system. When we turned those pumps on, we inadvertently lifted a whole bunch of dead snails out of one of the boxes and into the UV channel. And it covered bulbs. I'm talking like 4 or 5 inches deep. Of snails. And so
hang tight so I can understand why we would have that many snails.
Okay.
In whatever it was.
So there's a lot of hidden corners in structures and things like that. In this particular case, I don't think the box has ever been cleaned. It's an influent box. And we had a real bad snail problem. I'm talking like 5 or 6 years ago. It was a long time ago. Snails were growing everywhere. We had snails everywhere.
Now these are, we're on the spring term because I know you're an engineer. These are snails.
These are snails that crawl everywhere.
These are all dead snails.
So these are snail shells.
But they're aqua snails, not on the ground. Some snails go on the ground, just like turtles. These are on the
ground. Like in a fish tank.
Yeah, like in a fish tank. So it turned out that the box in front of UV, there's a distribution box that distributes water in front of UV. And because it intentionally tries to slow the water down so we don't get turbines into the UV, it slows the water down. So it turned out to be a good spot for snail shells and snail bodies. So long story short, the snails are 5 feet deep in the box. So it's like 5 feet deep of snail bodies. Okay, that was in the box. So when we turned a bunch of water on, all those snails blew up and went into the UV channel. So that occurred on one day. Now the good news is we found out immediately that was in one day. But that did not occur on the first 3 violations. So if you look at 79, 79, 130, we hadn't done anything yet. So we still don't know what caused those. We had an event, I left off here at a great point, now we had a 49 on the second. Or the, on the, was the second or the fourth?
Second.
On the second, we had a 49. And that was the snail day, I'll say, where we knew we had an issue with the snails. So, you know, we had some starter pickups. Interesting enough, Mike, I read the state inspection report you sent me. I got that on October 10th, and they didn't get it to us. Like, it was the date of September, but it wasn't until October we got it and whatnot. Interesting enough, they said you can request ahead of time a 30-day moratorium on fines while you're doing startup. Unfortunately, they didn't tell us that until after we'd done this. You know, so maybe we can go back and say, well, great, you didn't tell us until afterwards. But at the moment, the way the report said was you're supposed to ask ahead of time 30 days prior, but we were already in startup.
We're going to ask for forgiveness.
So maybe we can ask for forgiveness to say it was startup. Regardless, we had four violations. We haven't had any violations in 6 months. The first three would go away. So at the most, we're talking one violation, which should be a $3,000 fine. So I think that's the worst. I'm hoping we can argue, you know, this was clearly a startup. We told you it was startup, but you didn't show up till right before startup, and so we didn't have the 30 days ahead of time to ask. It just happened while you were here, you know, kind of thing. So maybe we get out of it.
Well, they were there. They were on site when it...
Right beforehand, in September, right? So we were in the middle of it when they shut up, okay? Now, in terms of... It's a $30,000 fine. I cannot find a cost for this. You know, most of the time I'm able to look at something and say, okay, I think it was this or I think it was that. I don't think it was Viola's fault. I don't think it was Gunther's fault. I don't know what caused this, so I can't sit here and say this is so-and-so's fault you should pay or that's so-and-so's fault you should pay. I think it's a cost of doing business fine. It's my personal opinion.
So it's $3,000 is your guess?
I think that's my guess.
But you bought them here for a couple of years.
Yeah, 2 years from now they're going to send us a nasty letter. Like, hey, you know what I mean? They'll say.
Well, shouldn't we document that now? We send in the violation that we have.
Right.
Yeah, I will, because I'm working
on it. So he's going to document that this was all startup for
you. Yeah, it's all startup, but then you put a copy of the letter saying, here's the date you sent us the letter. We didn't know anything about it. So that's in file.
Yeah.
And this definitely is startup, and we've asked that you take that into consideration. Right. We haven't had any fusses.
But part of that was that they wanted a startup plan 30 days before startup so they could approve the startup plan.
Yeah. So we didn't get that. So we're asking for forgiveness after that because they didn't tell us. First of all, I had never heard of this, by the way. I don't think you have either. Right? Yeah. I had never heard that you
write,
could
write the best letter
get out of your permit.
Get it in the file. So the guy that was going to read this, he's now retired. There's a new guy in there, and he's too busy to go down.
All right. So at any rate, I think it's a cost of doing business. Maybe we get out of it, maybe we don't. Okay. All right. And so in terms of are we continuing, we haven't had any more problems. We haven't been able to recreate the problem. We seem to be okay. So in terms of our current permit and our current status, that's where we're at. We're recommending accepting the equipment and the contractor. We have no basis to reject it. Now we've got weeks now without any problem. We can't reproduce the problem. We're accepting to do the equipment and the installation of our contractor. Okay. So that's the update on our current permit. The other thing that's gone on.
This will be a board approval action to release the funds, right?
Eventually, we'll have the notice of completion will have to be filed by the town. We're not there yet because of some other things. But in terms of specific equipment, we are no longer considering the UV system a problem. We're basically said it's gone for 3 weeks and we can't really reproduce the problem. And it's been running automatic, right?
Yep.
So running an automatic has been fine. Okay, so that's the status of it. In terms of the filter project itself, we did have a hurricane that wiped out some of our materials. So the filter project is going longer than the contract time right now. After that, we can't fix it, so it is what it is. But I do want to alert that eventually that we're over contract time on the filter project. But we're running the facility, we're doing stuff, but there's little items, like this plate is not installed. You know, that we expected.
Can't install it, don't have.
Yeah, you know. And we also have a warranty item on some mixers. And these mixer motors are overloading, and we're getting these motors replaced. So there's a few warranty items, and there's a few material items that we are not closing the contract. I'm not closing the contract. I'm holding the contractor, but we are over time. However, we're using all facilities. So we're talking about minor
right.
stuff.
So we're not we're not putting a financial burden on the contractor.
No.
We're just going
now,
on.
If anything, we're holding all of his retention.
Right.
And so I'm not reducing his retention until he comes and takes care of his items, you know, until these
right.
things
right.
So the financial burden of the contractor is he isn't getting his retention. It's quite a bit now, right? It's probably about $500,000, something like that, his retention. So the other alert is we should be closing, I think, in...
Go ahead. Is there a replacement product for that planking? In other words, I know that was specified,
yeah,
and they want to do it, but if you can't, the plant's down, we've got to go to plan B. And
so right now, the replacement product is plywood.
Well, I saw that. But.
So they got 3/4 of it installed, so they got 3/4. What happened is they went with the replacement supplier. So the supplier in Houston got wiped out. All his material got wiped out. So they went to the main manufacturer, I think in New York, something like that. So they went to a different manufacturer, basically, to get directly from the supplier. And then the supplier...
In Texas also.
Was it Texas also? So they went to a different person to supply the material. So they switched people. And then he sent a bunch of stuff, but he didn't get it all right. Basically, the long and short of it is they didn't get it all right. And we're waiting on like follow-up stuff now.
So some of the plank was done. There were some pieces that were... too short, so they're waiting on some additional coming.
Right, but if you go up there, like 3/4 of it's done, but there's still some things. Okay, so we wouldn't let the contractor go until it's all done, you know, kind of thing. But technically, on the contract, we're going to be over contract on that. But basically,
what does over contract mean?
What's that?
It's not an additional cost; it's just the time.
Technically, we could impose liquidated damages on the contractor.
Oh well, it's not their fault.
That's us, but. They would have a legitimate reason for not being under contract, so it would just, if we wanted to get a fight, that's what we would do.
Yeah,
at the moment, we're operating the facilities, we're filtering the product, you're working with it, you're practicing with it, you know, we're running a UV system, you know, we're running this.
I agree with you, it's an act of God, so.
So I did want to make you up there, we won't be closing that contract until November, likely.
And the original date was?
Originally, it was the end of September. We gave an extension for some items into October for the biosignation.
60-90 days.
Right. Okay. So so that's the end of contract update.
Okay. All right. Future agenda item.
Hold on. All right. Sorry. So there's two more things to go over. So I wanted to alert Dina.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, so I wanted to alert Dina that we will be filing a notice of completion, hopefully in November, and they're going to want a retention after that. So that closing out this contract should be...
Have you been monitoring the budget on this?
What's that?
And do you know where we're at on the budget on this?
Yeah, all right, so we're under budget on this job. Okay, so in the project, we included some money for some change orders.
Okay.
We used some of that money, but we did not use it all. The other thing we did is we felt that we weren't getting a fair price on replacing some of the broken asphalt, so we removed that from the project. So the entrance road, if you've been on there, the entrance road's pretty beat up. That was in the contract to replace. But we felt that they weren't giving us a fair price on that, so they just gave us a big credit, and we took the credit. So we're going to be under the current contract amount, and we'll sign a change order to lower the contract amount when we close the project. Okay, so
we still, part of that contract was to fix that piece of roadway. So we still have to go out fix
and
that.
And the real problem that came up, it wasn't just the entrance of the roadway, is the storms killed our plant last year. We have a lot of areas.
There's a bunch.
We have a bunch of areas now that have broken up concrete, asphalt. And so it became clear that it isn't just the roadway we gotta deal with, it's these other areas. And they were really, we were originally had a contract to do this, but their price was like outrageous. And so we said, no, let's not do that. And we just took the other out because it'll be easier under one contract. But we still have the issue of the roadways. But we're going to be $100,000 under budget. Okay.
Until we fix the asphalt.
Well, until we fix the asphalt. But even if I just left the asphalt in the contract, we'd still be under budget. The issue is we have more stuff than happened before than we knew about. You know,
because the asphalt, as far as the contract goes, even though the roadway was in that contract, there's additional stuff.
Yeah, we have all this other stuff. It's way more than this little roadway.
That has come up
right
since the contract was left.
Yes. Now, by the way, I think we'll be 100,000 under Which should probably, I think if we bid it to a local person and just focus on the asphalt, might cover that. But I know some of the stuff that Virgil's been able to repair already on, you know, working with JW, you know, so we have some broken asphalt. It has to be taken care of. How we want to take care of that's the best. But the reality is we're going to have less money on the total contract here than what was than what the current contract was. So there will be, I'll say, a budget surplus come back, and the decision has to be made to just go into the general fund or use it specifically for something planned, or what happens with it is up to, you know, Tina and the committee or whatever.
I have a question as it relates to that contract with Auburn. They have been really good to us as a whole, a contractor, as we say. And I was wondering, could we give them back some of the retention that hold more than enough we need for their grading and the mixer of motors, just so they're not, they're on the hook?
Yeah, Dina's saying
I wouldn't do that. Okay. I really wouldn't. I mean, I would wait till that project's completed and you
well,
checked
well
on
meaning, and I would agree. The empathy towards the contractor, I would agree with you on, but just. Who knows
it's
what
not a good
happens.
Business practice.
Yeah. So from a business side, a good guy to deal with that is fine. But
well, no, but then the value of what he needs
it,
to be done.
Yeah, what I'll say, what he's asked for, the district has done it before, and it's not an uncommon ask for a contractor at the end. So if you remember the secondary project,
I know, we had problems. Well, we gave them money back, and we gave them half retention. So
yeah,
I don't
right.
think it, we should do that.
So, that's fine.
The old first rate.
Yes.
You know, as long as, the real thing is, as long as we're timely when we close the project.
Right.
Plane.
We process it right away. So
yeah.
we don't hold
so
it
once,
muddle around with it. We make
once,
sure we close it,
so,
you accept it, and we process it.
Right. Last time.
All right. So let me get so that we can relay back. Once that notice of completion is signed and authorized and gets to Dana's office.
Yes.
How long will it take you to cut a check?
We will do it that day, and we will take it to the next board meeting, and you will
sign
it, and then it goes to the county, and
so
we actually sometimes even go and pick up the check, just depending on. So,
so at the worst, 2 weeks, because
it could be anywhere from, it could be a little longer than that.
Yeah.
But we start the process as soon as I get that notice intention. We'll have Leslie create the form.
Oh,
yeah.
And of course, we're holding it right now to the finish.
Yeah, holding it.
Right. And that's fine. They haven't asked, but it's not uncommon for contractors to get to the end and say, you hold $500,000 for $10,000 worth of work. If you do that too long, then they're going to start. And they have a legal basis, but if you do it too long, then they're going to start. So that's what financials are going to happen here in the next 2 months. Okay. All right. So the last item on the filter update. Okay. And that is, as part of the filtration system, we did a formal Title 22 bioassay of the UV equipment. Okay? And this would be required with the filters in place to, if we want to certify our plant as a Title 22 plant.
Okay, so this is the real test.
Yes.
But we're not submitting it because we're not doing it.
Well, hold on, that's a story.
Oh,
so there's always a story.
I don't care to get to the end here. I already figured it out. It came out good.
Actually, no, unfortunately, it did not. Okay, so here's the deal. The new equipment we bought, Trojan Channel 2, tested out just fine up to a flow of about 2.6 MGD. And then it had some degradation at higher flow. We tested it at 4.3 MGD, which is peak capacity. It had some degradation. So it technically didn't meet spec at 4.3 MGD. Now, in reviewing, and then we also tested Channel 1. Unfortunately, Channel 1 did not pass. Okay, so Channel 1 is existing equipment that we've had for 5 years. And, well, we tried to spruce it all up and get it all ready to go. But for some reason, it didn't pass. And a reason unknown at the moment. So the specialist that did this testing has filed a draft report with the state of California and us. You know, and I'm getting comments back from the state on the report right now. And the report basically said everything worked fine up to a certain flow rate. After a certain flow rate, it didn't work so good. But basically, they only submitted results on channel 2, the new equipment. So they had fails on channel 1, so they just were bummed on channel 1. So we're not going to tell the state they didn't pass channel 1. We're just going to talk about channel 2. Okay? But what the consultant has identified is there's some hydraulic things going on in the distribution of water in front of the snails. Not that there were snails there, but that box that had the snails in it. There's some distribution issues, and that's what he thinks is generically the issue. is that there's some hydraulic entrance issues and the equipment gets a lot of velocity on it at high flows. So the first thing is this. This is the first step to certifying a facility as a Title 22 facility, and that is, does your equipment meet Title 22? Okay. So what we've demonstrated is we meet Title 22 in Channel 2 up to a certain flow rate, and they make us apply a special factor to account for the flow. We don't know the formal word back from the state yet about what they're going to say specifically. Like, if they don't think they're going to put an operational limit on us, but we don't know. So we don't know what the state's going to say about support. But at the highest flow condition, we had poor performance on the system, and the consultant is saying it's a hydraulic issue in the way the water enters the box.
And this is in the new filtration system?
This is not the filter system. It's in the UV channel. It's in the new UV enclosure box. Okay. So it has nothing to do with the filter.
Between the filter and
right.
UV.
And it doesn't impact our operations right now. It doesn't impact anything that we're doing right now.
It's the structure of the UV that's causing, not the new equipment, like the concrete structure.
Right. The orifice that the water's going
through
may need to be modified somehow.
So he's talking about, so the real thing is, what he's proposing are extensive modifications. Okay, we're talking about, let's pull out the saws and let's start packing our structure up, Which, at the moment, A, I wouldn't do, and B, I wouldn't do without some further thought, about what's occurring here. So what I do want to make people aware of is this report has been filed with the state. It basically says, yeah, you guys make Title 22 water up to here. What the report says is we have to go to 133 dose instead of 100.
100.
Yeah, so you've been running 120, right? Our permit says we need to dose 100. The report says, well, because you're kind of flaky here at the top end, you need to run 133. So basically, it's turn the equipment up. It's turn the dial. That's all. But it has some impacts on flow and capacities.
More problem.
Yeah, it has some impacts on flows and capacities. It doesn't affect anything in terms of how we operate now. When we go to be a Title 22 plant, we're going to have to see what the state board says about it. Okay, but one thing that is true is Channel 1 has not been certified, no matter what. Okay, because we had poor results at the time. So at some point in time down the road, Channel 1 would have to be retested as a minimum. And then if we wanted to reevaluate this hydraulic condition, you might try to fix that first and then test. You might try and get two birds with one stone. What I'm recommending is the state's going to say what the state's going to say about our operations. We're not a Title 22 plant. We actually don't have to be until 2022, okay?
December 2022.
Yeah, so we're not a Title 22 plant for a while. We have to be in 5 years, but we don't have to be right now. We're meeting permit, as you see right here. But what I would recommend then is that we put this problem in the master plan. It's one of the things that we have on schedule to start the master plan meeting. Spring of next year we'll start it, right? So we're going to split costs and we're going to start it. So, and then we do a hydraulic evaluation, we do a UV evaluation. What's interesting about it is we had a bioassay before this where we didn't try running into high flows and everything checked out. So we had a stand tank for the bioassay. We didn't rent pumps to put 400 BD down, but we ran with the normal flows we had and did a bioassay and everything checked out. And it's just like this report says, under normal flow conditions, we checked out just fine. There's no problems. But when we rented pumps and really put 4 MPD, then this hydraulic condition kind of showed up. Now, by the way, the consultant is surmising it's a hydraulic condition because it was high flow related. It worked on low flow, but not on high flows. And you say, well, I see a lot of turbulence. Maybe that's the problem. I think we would want to evaluate that more before we just jumped in and said, oh, okay, let's do this, let's do that. And I wouldn't do anything right away. I'd be doing it in a planned method, because no matter what, we still need to figure out why Channel 1 didn't pass, per se. Because Channel 1, which is our existing equipment, which is identical, exact same equipment, it is older, and, maybe, I don't know, we thought we cleaned it all up, we thought we placed the sleeves and the bulbs, and we thought it was all right in there. So we, we need to kind of work with Trojan a little bit on it. So the long and short of it is, we're still going to have some ongoing things to consider about the UV system, and I would probably put it in the upcoming master plan to do an additional evaluation of the UV system performance and recommended measures, recommended measures that would come out of the next master plan for it. So that's sort of the update on that. So people might hear, oh, we passed or didn't pass or this and that. That's what happened with our bio.
And this will have no effect on our MPD, yes?
No, it doesn't have to work with anybody, right?
Okay.
Okay. And here's the saying, in 2022, we could run on channel 2, but we couldn't run on channel 1.
The nitrification, adding the denitrification, is that going to make this other part move?
It is not. But what I would do, what I would likely do, is the master plan is evaluating nitrification again. Remember, we said, let's just do one last check.
Right.
One last check before we go spend money on the nitrification. We have a lot of questions about that. The master plan evaluate what to do with UV, and what I would probably do as a capital project, anything you decide to do with the UV, we'd work into that nitrification project. So you just have one project, and you would do both. You know, you would address both systems. If we really had a desire to go to, we want Title 22 water right now, you can do it, but only on Channel 2. So that's kind of the thing that I'm going to say.
We don't have any use for it.
We don't. We don't. And by the way, you know, if you just do an irrigation water for farm field, you don't have to make Title 22 water to put it on a farm field. But if you're going to give it to the public, or if you're going to put it on your grass right here where the people can touch it, then you have to have the restricted Title 22 water.
Well, we'd have to spend a lot of money in infrastructure just getting it over here first.
But,
so that's another problem.
When we have the drought, you know, Rick Howard said, why don't we have water buffalo and water the Romanian islands? They said no. We called the health department and said, no, we can't do it. Even if we got the water buffalo and just drug it over there and did it, they said no. If it were Title 22 and it was a drought, and you want to do the water buffalo because you don't have pipe water, you could, right? You know, kind of thing. But that's what you're talking about. So the real thing that's important is the last time I was at the board, I said, well, when we're all done, we'll make Title 22 water, but you need a report, not just this report, but an overall operations report, like how you're going to handle the water, where's it going to go, and who's going to touch it, and are you going to train the public, and that kind of stuff. That kind of report. At the moment, there'd be another stumbling block. If we know if we need to retest the UV system and at least maybe address some of the hydraulic problems. If there was a rush, to go forward to produce Title 22.
Yeah, it won't be.
Okay. So at any rate, that's sort of the update on that. And it's a big complex. So the state's going to come back and tell us something about this report. At the moment, the report says just run the UV channel 2 at 133 instead of 110. Our purpose is we got to run it at 100. This says run it at 133 if you want to make Title 22 water. Our current permit is 100, and that's to meet 22.
Well, current 80, it goes to 100.
Oh, yeah, it goes to 100, but our current is 80, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So that's report on that. The state will say what it says, and we're gonna throw a sort of, you know, let's look at it again in the master plan, and we'll specifically have them address the issues with channel 1 and the issues with the hydraulics that were brought up. I mean, we don't know if that's exactly the cause, but it is flow related to some extent, so we can have it come out and do some stuff. Retesting the biomass is not a cheap test. It's a, you know, it's a 45, 50 grand test. So we don't want to retest until we, you know, are ready and confident that this is what we want to test.
There's nothing wrong with the process that they did and the testing that could cause those numbers to go up.
Nothing that I can see, and like I said, at up to 2.6 MGD, they got the same results Stantec got when they got theirs. Stantec didn't, we didn't rent a pump for Stantec and put a bunch of water around in a circle, so we never tested. So everyone was projecting, it was like they were testing at today's flows and said, okay, this is working great, our 4 MGD will do this, and we're all good. So that's what all the reports up until now say, and that's what Stantec's report says. And then, by the way, that's what Trojan says, what Stantec says. So everyone's like, we tested on today's flows, it all worked great. Oh, this will do this much flow, the equipment will put this much power out, you'll be all good. Well, we actually tried it, and we found something different. That's a long and short. We actually read it at pump, and we'll see what happens.
We saw something. We got a plan.
That's the update on the filtration system.
Thank you. Future agenda items. Well, we have the one for the RFP process, and I'm not sure what else.
Yeah, next week.
Bring up or whatever staff thinks we need to talk about, we'll talk about. And with that, we'll close the meeting.
What's the status of that generator? Are we doing, is there going to be a generator?
That I got there.